me see you brightening the air. Let me see you playing everywhere. For your lights are shining free. I give all I am to thee. Open my eyes to the world.
And that was William Vitalis singing Open My Heart to the World. The program, Let's Find Out, is about a union of science, spirituality, and the ultimate raising of human consciousness. Let's Find Out brings you knowledge and inspiration of your inner divine temple. This universe is expanding, and we must join in because that is what cures us and what higher learning is all about. There is a new wave of illumination flowing onto and throughout the planet Earth. BBS Radio brings this information to the world in various ways. There are many programs and subjects on BBS Radio, as there are culture and languages. There is a team of tireless people producing and editing programs to bring you viewpoints of how to grow within and develop and strengthen your own spirituality. This brings new understanding, expansion, new programs, awareness on how to improve your life, and messages from the unknown. If spirituality can be considered a movement, BBS Radio is one of the fastest growing in the world and one of the most talked about topics. Perhaps it's because it has the power to be a conduit for self-definition, born of an inner longing to cultivate a purposeful life and establish a deeper connection to the universe. Each program, as well as the engineers and owners of BBS Radio, are dedicated to this. The ultimate desire of human consciousness is a connection to your blessed higher self. This wave of new energy and purpose helps you manage your emotional body. Meditation is key and strengthens and guides us to be able to give just a little more. Take the time to listen to your favorites on BBS Radio. Who can predict the energy and triumphs that will come? The joy that is felt as the heart opens and expands. When you are desperate, empty, in despair, and fatigued, reach out to Let's Find Out and BBS Radio for strength, goodwill, cooperation, and kindness. Many of your questions will be answered here. Let's Find Out is a program that does exactly what it says. It finds out. Please write me, Elizabeth_Joyce@Verizon.net. Email me with questions and interests in spiritual growth, as well as the workings of the universe. Somehow, some way, and through someone, we will find your answers. This program is all about you. The archives are full of infinite material. If you have missed this show in its entirety or any other show on BBS Radio, you can catch up during the week by accessing the archives. Share with kindred spirits journeying along with you on how they pursue higher levels of consciousness through the light energy, chakras, angels, reincarnation, prophecies, alternative medicine, spiritual retreats, and more. And unlike religion, spirituality allows for interpretation. It creates your third eye awakening, and you could manifest in the calmness that comes from spending time with your dog, preparing a sustainable meal, helping someone in need, or by just sitting still and listening. Let's begin by listening to tonight's program on Let's Find Out with Elizabeth Joyce. Good evening, everyone. My goodness, we're in the middle of October already, and I'm on the East Coast, and we're getting some pretty chilly weather. The leaves are turning, and they're finally letting go of their glorious colors and falling. That's what I love about fall. I love the month of October for that. The leaves finally stop hanging on, and they let go. I have a great guest tonight. Her name is Frankie Picasso. She's from Canada. And she's joining me. She also has her own radio station. I think she owns the station. We're going to talk about her book, Midlife Mojo, How to Get Through Midlife Crisis,
and emerge as your true self. And that's a wonderful thought, a wonderful consciousness thing that we all need to start working on, because all of us are going to get there, and all of us may be there or may be beyond it. But it's going to be interesting to find out some of the points that we can learn and find out about how we think and how we're emerging as we walk towards the light on our path. Good evening, Frankie.
Frankie. Hi, Elizabeth. Hi, everybody. So great to be here. It's okay. I get Jackie. I get Frank. I get, what's the other one people call me? Oh, I don't know. There's two names I always get called.
Anything but
Pat is a new one. And you know me. Oh, my gosh. That's so funny.
Well, tell us a little bit about this book and how it came to being.
Well, Midlife Mojo came after I was in a serious motorcycle accident. And I had been had a wonderful job with the provincial government. And I was, you know, like my star was rising. And it was funny at the time, though, I had felt the universe was trying to talk to me, and I kept doing cards and things. And I'm like, okay, I'm open. I don't know what you want. I'm trying to hear you, but I don't get it. But I'm so busy, just so busy with work and doing my thing and, you know, all of this. So I went for a motorcycle ride one night, and a guy ran a stop sign and he T-boned me, and I ended up in a hospital for 6 months. Well, during that time, I lost, you know, my job was reorganized. I divorced my husband in the hospital. I was a drummer in a band at the time, so the band came and picked up their gear. I was on the Canadian National Dragon Boat Team. We were 8 days from going to Shanghai for the championships, and so I lost out on doing that. And just about I lost everything, really, except my three kids. I still had them. And, you know, after 6 months, you know, I definitely went through what they call that dark night of the soul in the hospital. Pardon?
That's major. You know, there's six things that can't happen to you: losing your job, losing your money, losing your husband, moving. And sounds like you were holding just about all of them on your shoulders.
I definitely was. And I was holding my breath because I didn't know, you know, if I'd be able to keep the house, if the bank would remortgage it to me, because now I'm kind of unemployed, right? And I'm in a hospital. But thankfully, I did hold on to the house, and, you know, we moved forward with years of litigation, actually. But it was really tough at the time because I was in a lot of pain. I'd broke both femurs, hip and pelvis, and a few other things. And
restructuring.
Yeah, total restructuring. And I learned a lot of lessons during that time. And when I came out of the hospital, I started to take coaching online, and eventually I became a teacher, a coaching instructor, and I started to write my book. And I read the book today, and I go, I know it was just a total download from spirit, because it's just too well written. I'm just like, this is just too good.
I feel about my books too.
Yeah. You know, this can't be me. I didn't come up with that.
That's quite a midlife crisis. I mean, I had a few, but not like that. I never broke a bone.
Yeah.
Mine was drinking men that had alcohol. And also I had 9 pregnancies and 2 births. And that was
That's hard.
Very, very hard.
That's very hard.
So tell me, does everyone go through this at midlife? I think the age is supposed to be between 42 and 45, according to astrology.
Yeah. I don't know if it's that narrow. I think it can be a little bit wider than that. I don't know if I think everybody goes through it, but they don't necessarily all go through it with the same degree that I did. But I think we all do. I like to think that rather than a crisis, it's a metamorphosis. And we come to a certain age, I think each of us do, we come to a certain age where we look forward a little bit and we look back at where we had been and we go, you know what? I've only got maybe 20 or 30 years left. What am I doing? I'm not happy. I'm not doing the job that I want. I'm not, you know, in the place that I want to be in the right relationship. I'm not in any of that. And you know, I've only got a little bit of time to get it right. And so I think we start looking and thinking and querying our life, which is a really good thing. I think what happens, though, is this crisis, this metamorphosis, is we start to break out from our socialized self, because ever since, you know, we're born, we're socialized. You know, society tells us, mom and dad tell us, you act a certain way, you're going to do this because, you know, you're expected to be an accountant because dad was an accountant and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. So we do things to please other people, but we don't please ourselves. And as you know, very well know, Elizabeth, we come into this world alone, we leave it alone, and we're here for our own specific reason. No, you know, we might be here for someone else, but that's our reason too. So we have to be here for us and not for anybody else, really.
Well, let me say it the way that I would say it.
Okay.
Every soul is born with preset challenges, but the challenges are energetic. And they do happen at certain times according to your astrological chart.
Right.
The only reason that we are here is to love and to serve.
Yeah.
For our soul to advance to higher levels and a higher state of consciousness, we have to go through these transformational times in order for us to grow back to where we need to come to the light. And there will be all kinds of transitional experiences to help clear our heads and say, hey, that wasn't the right path. Let's get over on this one.
Well, I came up with an idea that one of the ways that we know that we're having, you know, that we're in the midst of our metamorphosis, if you want to call it that, signs that the crisis is impending are, one, you want to run away from your life. You don't enjoy your work anymore. You have a deep desire to want to help other people now. Your body is changing and you're living with some uncertainty and overwhelming feelings that, you know, you want your life to count for something. You want to have meaning. And, you know, you feel the universe reaching out to you, but like me, you couldn't figure out what it was trying to say. And the universe is going to get its message across any way it wants to.
I call it a divine universal experience. You either make the choice on your own.
Yes.
Have the universe handle it, and you never want the universe to handle it.
No, you don't. Otherwise, you end up like me.
I want to tell you that we do have a caller. I hope that she's going to call about our subject. Her name is Annie. She's from Illinois. And let's see what she has to say about
this. Sure.
Annie, how are you?
I'm absolutely wonderful listening to you ladies.
What is your question for Frankie tonight?
Well, actually, my question is, well, one thing is, something is keeping me, for either of you to answer this, my income is exceptionally great, but I can't hold on to that money. Something is always breaking, something is always happening. What's wrong?
Let me ask you something. What's your belief system around money? What do you think of people who are really rich?
I think it's exceptional. I think it's great.
What did your family think of it? What did your family think of those people?
It's not about her family. It's about her self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
I think that at an early age, Annie, you may have been taught about being too greedy or about doing things only for the money, and somehow your circuits got twisted a little bit. So what you need to do is to set up a savings account and call it Annie's Grace and start putting your money there. And you have to pay that as a bill every month. It's as important as your mortgage. And start to do that and see what happens. You feel that if you have money in your hand, you either have to use it for something or give it away. This is very subconscious, and you learn this very early age, don't you think, Frankie?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I talk about it in the book. It's called an underlying automatic commitment. It's a belief system that you have that you don't know about.
It's called subconscious.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another word for it.
And
how does that feel? Does that resonate with you, Annie?
You can bring it out.
Yes, it does.
You can
change it. Yes, it does. It does resonate.
With present life regression work, that's the way I know of how to change it. So you need to get somebody, a coach like Frankie, or you work with a present life regression person, and you work on going deep back into the memories, and you change history. When you change history, you'll change your belief system, and you will be able to slowly change that automatic response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So,
you know, beliefs are something that people don't always question. They assume that they've always had them. But I encourage people to actually, you know, look at your beliefs and go, is this my belief? Is who like, am I really afraid of this, or am I really responsible for this, or did somebody tell me this? You know, because in our memories, in our subconscious, we pick up things, and the subconscious is a sponge, and it doesn't have a moral compass. It doesn't know right from wrong. It only knows what's planted into its default, into its hardware system, just like a computer. You know, the computer doesn't go, oh, I don't like, you know, what you're putting into me. It takes it, because that's what you're putting into it. And that's what happens in our brain and our subconscious.
So you have to work with it. And of course, yeah. One of the best ways to work with it is to start a meditation practice. Do you have a meditation practice, Anne?
No.
Well, you have to have one, because that's the only way to go forward. I'm sorry, but that's what I believe in. I have seen it work magic. Talk to yourself every night. Do your nightly review, morning meditation and nightly review. Ask yourself how your day went, and ask yourself where your money went. Take a look at what you spent during that day. I do that a lot because I have a similar belief system. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, oh, good, I didn't spend any money today, you know, and that thing. It's just something you have to constantly be vigilant with it. And it's okay to do that. It's called stewardship. We have to be a steward of our funds.
Yeah. Elizabeth, which of your books would be perfect for her to learn about manifesting, or learn about meditation?
My trilogy. Because yeah. My trilogy starts you from the beginning, the meditation practice, and then learning about how to protect yourself and taking it a step at a time. But Frankie, I think you could coach her too.
Oh, what totally.
What
yeah,
would you
totally.
Say to her? On the first time.
Yeah, totally. It's coachable, Annie, and you can also read Elizabeth's books, and she can teach you how to meditate and work through all of this. Because if you take her advice, open up that bank account every night, start looking at where you put your money. Why are you spending it there? It's interesting. You be your own detective.
The greatest thing you're going to learn, Annie, is waste. Mm-hmm. Waste. I mean, I started this thing on waste. I just wanted to look at what I wasted, and I have a closet full of all kinds of vitamins and herb stuff, and I never take it. So that's got to go in the basket, and I can't buy anymore. Then go through your clothes closet. Look at your electronic devices. Look at your compulsion for food. See where your money goes. Make notes and decide which is waste that you can no longer partake in, and where can you grow? Annie's Grace. Go to the bank tomorrow and open that up.
I love that. Great advice.
I'm going to go get your book. I'm going to go order it from Amazon.com right now, and I'll continue to listen to the program. And okay. I'm going to try and book a session. I'm going to book a session with Frankie. Annie, I'm going to do that.
Nice. I look forward to hearing from you, Annie.
Now, Annie, start with book one and take it a little at a time. There's all kinds of exercises. And then do book two and then do book three. But start with book one. That has all of the basics of what you need to do.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Let's find out. So,
yeah.
Have a
good evening. Yeah.
Frankie, tell us, what is the beliefs that are holding us back? Can you touch it? And is it possible to understand our negative self? How can we get in touch with our negative self?
Oh, yeah, the negative self. We want to find out about that. So when you are looking at your negativity and the negative, you know, ways that we look at ourselves, we have to look inside our head at our responses. So for the very first exercise I always ask people to do is just close your eyes and imagine that you just spilt some milk on the counter. Now, before you go, oh, I have to clean that up, the very, very first thing that comes to your head, you know, was, oh, I'm so stupid, or, oh, I'm a dummy, or, oh, something. And it might not even be your voice. It might be a parent's voice that says that. But something comes out first before you go, oh, I'm so silly. I have to clean that up. And I know it's usually negative. So what we need to do is start to monitor our thoughts. And I like to liken it to listening to a recording. So if you listen to a musical recording, if you can pick out the bass, if you can pick out the drums, if you can take the strings, if you can hear the vocals, you start to pick it apart. That's exactly how you have to look inside your own mind. Listen, be the listener inside your mind and hear your thoughts. Because if you don't hear them, you're not going to see how negative they are. And once you have discovered your negative thoughts, you got to challenge them and dismiss them and start flipping them around.
Louise Hay was my teacher, as you know.
Yeah.
Louise would say, well, thank you for sharing. And then she would reword the thought in a positive way.
Right. And that was the thing. That was why I said you flip it into a positive. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and it's very powerful, and it's very interesting to see how we can be so cruel to ourselves. I remember crying one night, Elizabeth. I was listening to my thoughts. I'm like, I am so mean to myself. I would never, ever, ever say these things to somebody else, ever. Why am I saying it to me?
Well,
you're so fat, or you're so ugly, or you're this, or you're that. Like, we all do it. I know that we all do it because I speak to women every day and men. And you know, we do this to ourselves, and there's no reason for it, because we have to be our best friend. Like, we have, if nobody's going to be our friend if we don't be our best friend. So,
it
has
to stop. Another thing that's great that Louise Hay taught us is to look in the mirror and give yourself a nickname. And I'm Baby Cakes.
Oh, I like it.
Baby Cakes, you did it again. And of course, one of my negative sides is to slap myself across the face. I always got slapped across the face when I was little. So I'll just go, whoop, 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 whoop. All right, now let's reword it, you know, and to me, that's clearing. But giving yourself a loving nickname that makes you giggle and laugh and smile is a great way to start working and going towards something positive. And then say, you know, we learned that if you say the not, I'm not going to do this anymore. Spirit doesn't hear the word not.
No.
It only hears I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
So what you need to try to say is, isn't it wonderful that I'm free of that habit? And it changes the whole thing.
It really does. It really does. And, you know, this idea of giving yourself a nickname and looking in the mirror and rewording, you know, what you say to yourself. What happens is that instead of always going to the negative, you're going to start on this little deer path, and it's going to deepen and deepen into a bigger rut until finally your automatic response is the positive instead of the negative. And because you're going to catch yourself every time until it becomes, you know, where you go naturally.
It is. Now what I do when I spill milk is I laugh.
Yeah.
And I laugh and I go, I knew I was going to do that.
Yeah.
That because there's always a reason. This is what people don't get. When we have a car accident, mm-hmm. when we have an upset, when we're feeling crummy and we don't know why, there's always a reason. We may not be able to verbalize it. That's when you go into your inner. The way in is the way out, and the way out is the way in. So you go inside, and you sit in the silence, and you ask yourself, what fear is coming up? Mm-hmm. What am I being held back from in my mind? And it will come, and you'll see yourself jumping over the hurdle, jumping over the obstacle. And then your real life moves. Something wonderful happens that makes you so happy that you've been waiting for, and it wasn't coming. And then all of a sudden you jumped over the hurdle and it came.
Yeah, and obstacles are really great for that. And, you know, I love that. Lee Iacocca said something about, you know, obstacles are insoluble problems that, you know, you overcome, and it's so creative and wonderful to be able to do that, and it's such a relief. I like that. You grow with them. I like that.
My father ran track, and when I was in high school, I also ran track, and so I just related to jumping over hurdles.
Yeah.
And there's always something. As soon as you clear one away, you know another one's going to come, and then you get used to it. You go, oh, another one. Well, here we go. And then you know what happens when you get used to jumping the hurdles, and when you become a little bit successful with it, you've got something that leaves you, and that's called fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's a biggie.
It is a huge. I mean, I talk about fear in the book, and I say that we have three fears. We've got success, fear of success, fear of failure, and fear of change. And it's crazy to think people go, why would I be afraid of success? But maybe like Annie, you know, not the success, but her money, the success is that people think that, you know, maybe your friends are going to think you're too good for them, or maybe you feel that you're a one-trick pony and you can't keep up with that success. You know that it was a fluke, and now people expect more of you all the time. So that's a fear of success. And of course, we all know about the fear of change. But you know, the Chinese have two characters for change, and you know, the fear of change it's very interesting. And it just went out of my head. It's so interesting, but it'll come back to me in a moment. I promise you. Danger and opportunity. That's what it is. Danger is an opportunity. So the danger is that you have to leave your comfort zone, but the opportunity is in outside of your comfort zone.
Uh-huh. Well, we used to say, I am safe. It's only change. I am safe. Because there's a fear. There's a fear of not being safe. There's a fear of somebody getting mad at you. There's a fear of being criticized. There's a fear of somebody not supporting you in your decisions.
I have a fear of not change. I have a fear that things won't change. And that's the opposite fear.
That's why you've got that high energy level.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have to go into the commercial break right now and listen to some messages. And then we're going to be back. And we'll take your call if you want to call us with something you'd like to try to overcome tonight. To call in your question, dial 888-429-5471. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I'm on with Frankie Picasso, and we'll be back just after this. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and now it's time for our weekly cosmic tip. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Stargazing, week of October 16th through October 22nd, 2017. This is a changeable week, holding some good as well as some negative energies. We have a new moon as well as three planetary changes of signs. As the week opens, did you wake up early or have unusual dreams? Mental Mercury opposing eccentric Uranus as it exits Libra can produce a restless night. The moon is in Virgo to begin the work week, so tend to all those small details and get organized. On Tuesday, Mercury moves into Scorpio and then aligns with Jupiter that moved into Scorpio on October 10th. This supports deep thinking and research, or it can manifest as sarcasm and dark humor. This shift highlights our mental forces that become more intense as we search for motives and reasons behind our daily experiences. Jupiter joins Mercury in Scorpio on Wednesday, bringing optimism and enthusiasm. So if you need to get focused, this next 3 weeks will help you. It is also a good time to bring deeper and or hidden emotions to the surface. The new moon in Libra arrives on Thursday the 19th. There is a combination of Libra diplomacy and Scorpio toughness going on, a blending I like to call the velvet glove with knuckles. In other words, this is a good new moon to communicate difficult topics in all types of relationships because you can be serious and kind at the same time. Uranus makes this a particularly restless and unpredictable time and could bring in a new relationship with a military type or perhaps a healer or a rescue type person. If you're planning on starting something new, it's important to avoid any risky business and focus on balance and fairness. It's also a good time to communicate both your higher goal and aspirations to your higher self, as well as any fears and vulnerability about taking a risk on manifesting those goals. Adding to this moon is a challenging relationship between I want it now, Mars, and be patient, Saturn. You may be feeling caught between a rock and a hard place from the wounded healer, Chiron. Center Chiron helps you to heal and create alternative strategies that will help you get through the challenges rather than wanting the solution now and only the way you want it. Be willing to assert your needs in a clear and simple way. Also, be willing to understand that things and people do not change overnight, but at least this will get the process moving. This is a nice way of saying that you must adapt and practice flexibility. Perhaps the universe knows what is actually best for you. Still, this is a great new moon to work on your relationship needs. The moon moves into Scorpio for the weekend. This adds a privacy tone to the weekend, which is good for deep level sharing with your inner circle, but not so great for hanging out with strangers. Sunday brings us two more planet changes, Mars moves into Libra, and the Sun moves into deep-thinking Scorpio. This matchup brings a tug of war because Mars loves a good fight, and Libra likes balance and harmony. Scorpio, ruled by Pluto, is the darkest, deepest, and most complex part of the zodiac. Scorpio rules sex, death, and other people's money. You will have to navigate the straits right up until Thanksgiving. Besides its bad reputation, there are many smart people and leaders who are motivated by Scorpio somewhere in their astrology chart. When the Sun moves through Scorpio, it has the potential to bring deep healing and transformation as we move from surrender into a deep sleep from fall to winter. If you have a clear goal, a Scorpio month will help you attack it thoroughly and surpass your doubts and fears to bring in balance and success. And now it's time to get back to Let's Find Out with Elizabeth Joyce and her guests. Is it a headache or someone wishing you ill? Is a sudden change in behavior due to drugs or the influence of evil? Do you find it hard to pray, to reach out to God? Psychic attack is more common than one might think and is a malady that can be overcome by specific metaphysical and spiritual treatment. Elizabeth Joyce clearly explains what the symptoms of psychic attack are, where it comes from, how you can overcome the attack, and what simple exercises and meditations you can do to protect yourself from future attacks. She compares psychic attacks from days gone by with their modern counterparts and illustrates with antidotes and examples. Is there any such thing as a ghost, and can they harm you? Can other people's negative and destructive thoughts harm you? If so, you can take steps to protect yourself from these energies. Although you would seek and find help with any physical emergency, this book, Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce, can be helpful by your learning good spiritual practices for clearing away negative energies and keeping up with the housework of the soul. Then, if something overthrows you, there are some good strategies at hand so you can begin to remove them. Learn what to do as well as what not to do. Elizabeth Joyce is an expert on ghost busting, and she has been to court on many occasions helping people get their money back from the gypsies and so-called psychic stealers. This is a book that you'll want to pick up and keep in your library because it's a how-to book as well as an informative book. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce is available at Amazon.com as well as the website www.new-visions.com. Be sure to pick up Psychic Attack. You will want to hear Elizabeth's personal story as well as get this great information that could be helpful to you and your family in the future. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce. This is Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out. Over the past 30 years or so, I have been blessed to open up to my inner self of intuition and inner guidance, which has been a valuable and priceless gift. Mankind has always believed in unseen energies inhabiting in an invisible world of lives and existences from the other realms. Do you think you're a little bit psychic? Do you think you have a strong intuition? Would you like to learn how to open your intuition and develop your sixth sense? I have put together 3 books on the subject: Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity, Developing Your Sixth Sense, Book 1, Book 2, and Book 3. These are my trilogy books, and what they do is introduce you to the subject of metaphysics in all of its various forms. Do you know about the chakras, the 7 energy centers of the body? Do you have a meditation practice? Do you wonder about your dreams? Have you ever met your spiritual guide? Have you had an out-of-body experience, or do you know how to use creative visualization? What about basic astrology? You can begin to build your spiritual practice and open to your intuition with these 3 books: Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity, Book 1, Book 2, and Book 3. It has been said by many parents of teenagers and young people that Book 1 really does help the younger ones begin to learn about this subject and develop themselves as well. All books are available on Amazon.com as well as my website, new-visions.com.
Pick them up. They'll always be a part of your library. Thank you. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. I wanted to let everyone know that my new book, a memoir, called Unlimited Realities, is now available on Amazon.com. It just got released from the publisher this week. This memoir is the life of a gifted seer and healer, how a woman transcends from pain and sorrow as destiny taps her on the shoulder. Rather than just shrugging off her problems, she began to gaze inward and upward. She became spiritually awakened and floated above her body, gaining wisdom and knowledge. When I was 8, I became ill with a touch of TB. We lived in Ridgewood, New Jersey, but Mother had grown up in Warner, New Hampshire, where her mother and family still lived. I was shipped up to Grandma's to live for a year, which was the beginning of saving my soul as well as my life. When Dick Clark was with us, he reviewed the American Bandstand chapter of Unlimited Realities and absolutely loved it. He said that Unlimited Realities would make a great read. So order yours now at Amazon.com, or you can order it from my website, www.new-visions.com. Don't miss this one. It is a great read and shows you a lot about now as well as the hereafter and what happens to us after we pass from this earth plane. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I would like you to be a guest on my BBS radio show, Let's Find Out. It's a live internet radio show on bbsradio.com at Station 2. We discuss holistic health modalities, ESP, psychic services, New Age books, and much, much more. BBS Radio has a great worldwide listenership, and we utilize an over 6,000 name email list every week to promote our guests. This is really a great way to advertise yourself, your business, your interests, your books or products, to promote yourself and your website and gain credibility. You will love this. Being on the air is really a lot of fun. The show is an hour long, and you can talk about yourself and promote your gifts and your talents any way you please. We will create a list of 15 questions or more that I will ask you during the show to focus on that which you want to promote. I would love to book you as a guest for the show. We are on Sunday nights live at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If this sounds like something you would like to do, please send me an email for the Let's Find Out agreement form and all the details. My email is elizabeth.joyce.bbsradio@gmail.com. We are now booking air dates between December of 2017 and March of 2018. Thank you for your consideration.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out. An honored guest come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471 in the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale. I must take a trip to California and leave my poor sweetheart alone. If he has a dog, he won't be lonesome. And the doggie will have a good home. How much is that doggie in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggie in the window? I do hope that doggie's for sale.
Well, this is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And that was supposed to be Patti Page singing our wonderful furry friends. Yes. And the reason I played it is because my guest tonight, Frankie Picasso, does paintings. And she does paintings of you with your wonderful little dogs. And if you go to the website and check her page, there's a photo of her with her paintings and some dogs. So I think that's wonderful, Frankie. I was trying to surprise you.
Oh, I love that. You know, my mom used to sing that song to me. And if you go to frankiepaintspets.com, and you'll see some of my paintings there that I've done of our animal companions, our animal family. And I just love to paint our pets. I think they're fun and they're beautiful.
It's wonderful that you do it. I really do.
Yeah, I like connecting with them and I enjoy it. And I, you know, animals are very special to me and always have been. And I was at the dog park today and I think everyone came to say hi and it was so nice.
That is nice. Good. Yeah. Very good. So we were also going to talk about you have a new book coming out. And
I do.
A little bit about that.
Yes, it's called I Bared My Chest, 21 Unstoppable Women Get Naked. And how it came about, there's a Nigerian actress and just an amazing person who is so creative. And her name is Alex Okorji. And Alex and I had put on this creative summit. It was a virtual creative summit last July. And we had so much fun doing it that we said, let's not stop. Let's figure out what else we can do together. And we decided to marry our two brands. My brand is Unstoppable and hers is Naked, as in get naked, as in the truth. Let's tell the truth. Let's really bare ourselves. And so the idea of this book was born and it keeps evolving, which is kind of cool. But we invited 21 women and some have been uninvited and others have been invited. And we're there now ready to publish. Amazing stories. They're from India. They're from Australia. They're from Africa. They're from, you know, North America, Canada, like everywhere.
Eclectic, all around the world. People.
They're around the world. Yeah.
And it's about women and things that stop them from going ahead, right?
We asked everybody the same question. And it was really cool is our youngest is 16 and our oldest is in her 60s. I'm not sure who's older, but we'll say she's in her 60s. And so 16 to 60, we asked them all the same question. First, you know, tell us who you are and talk about your life. Talk about your life in terms of career and finance and, you know, love and sex and friendship and what makes you unstoppable and what are your obstacles and what do you see in the world that needs to be changed? And so we asked them all the same questions and we asked them, don't write it, like make it a narrative, write a story and just really be real and be real with yourself and your memories. And so other women who are reading this or men who are reading this will really get a handle on, where you're from in the world and what the difference, how we think about things differently or not, but really how you can help people.
Some of the answers were similar.
A lot of the answers were surprising. The overall arching, you know, response was about freedom, but it was very interesting how some of the women of color, you know, responded, how originally in their youth, they were very anti-white and this kind of thing and vice versa, and how they had come to an understanding today that we're all the same. You know, we all bleed red. We're all the same. We are sisters and, you know, done. So yeah. We all evolve and learn and grow. And hopefully those who aren't at this, you know, level yet will read and learn and grow until they too understand that we're all the same.
It'd be wonderful if we could be at the level, because we all want happiness in our marriage, our children to grow and succeed. We wanted food on the table. We want to be able to take a trip or two, and we want to love. Yeah. And beyond all that, to help others.
That's it. And so there is a global foundation that goes with the book, because I wanted to make sure that if and when we sell enough copies, we'll be able to give $1 million to charity, and especially to charity that helps people become educated. We're talking about freedom, because in a lot of countries, they're not free to be educated, especially women. And they're not free to dress as they want. They're not free to love who they want. They're not free to, you know, if you're gay, you're maybe not free to be gay in your country. You may not be free to, you know, all of these things that we take for granted. So
about that, I was brought up as an identical twin.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two older sisters that were identical twins. This is going to interest you. And my sisters were so close. They had their own language and mm-hmm. they loved to dress alike. My twin and I were opposites. We didn't really like each other. And we hated to dress alike. We didn't have the same taste in clothes. But my mother wanted us to dress alike.
Yeah.
It would work out that the first person who woke up and got dressed, the other person would have to put on the same thing. Well, it was a fight for me, but I would get up and try to be first. Most of the time, she beat me, though. But we had to dress alike. My mother would have said if we didn't. So I know what that is about not being able to wear what you choose. Can you imagine?
No, and really it's an identity crisis for you, because, you know, you want to be Elizabeth. I'm Elizabeth, and I need to express Elizabeth in my life.
After high school.
Yeah.
Now what I do when I want to wear something is I tune into the energies of the day, the weather, the temperature, how I'm feeling, and I pick a color that's going to enhance it. Like if I'm not feeling good, I'll wear orange.
Okay.
Because orange gives you energy. And there's times when I'm feeling peaceful and I'll wear blue or pink. I rarely wear black. The reason that I don't wear black or like black is because it's colorless. Blocks the good. It blocks your good. So as you're wearing black down your chakras, you can't receive the light. Not too many people know that.
No, I haven't heard that.
And people think that black is a powerful color. Of course, you can't tell anybody in New York City or San Francisco.
Yes.
That's what they wear. But that's not me. So I would just, it's wonderful to be able to tune in and put on what you feel the day feels for you. And that goes for everybody.
My power color. Yes. I always felt good. You know, if you really need to feel good, get a job, you wear red.
Red?
Red.
No. You're going to go on an interview for a job. You wear pink and gray together.
Oh, okay.
You will always get the job if you wear the pink blouse and the charcoal gray suit. Always. There's something in men that just love that combination.
Interesting. Are you listening, ladies?
It's true. And it's been, I worked with several different psychological agencies.
Sure.
Washington, D.C., about colors when we were doing homes for hard-to-place children. For example, you paint a bedroom a blue or a green. You don't paint it orange or yellow. Not only will it make the child active, but it also can harm their eyesight.
Yes.
Which I didn't know.
I didn't know it harmed their eyesight. I knew that it would activate because hospitals, that's why they have those ugly minty green and blue rooms.
Yeah, well,
people
it doesn't have to be ugly like that. It can be.
No, they don't. Yeah.
Greens, I know. But nonetheless, it's funny about how colors make us feel. And food odors is another thing, if you want to find out about your subconscious. How do food odors make you feel? What do you feel when you smell fish? What do you feel when you smell turkey cooking or cookies?
Yeah, I mean, real estate people know that they, you know, they'll have the smell of vanilla or cookies baking or apple pie candles or whatever, because it's going to make people think it's their home.
Really, it's nice to look at ambiance.
Yeah,
and you think it would affect you, but it affects you on the subconscious, which is brings us right back to your book on mojo.
It
brings
does.
Us right back to your belief system that's in your subconscious. That you need to reprogram.
You know, mojo is a Congolese word. It comes from the Congo, and it means life force.
Neat.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. So it's your life force.
Well, we are nearing the end of the show, Frankie, and it's been wonderful having you on.
Oh, thank you so much.
What your website is and how they can reach you.
Come to thegoodradionetwork.com. You can read about me there. And if you want coaching, just email me at email me at Coach Picasso, P-I-C-A-S-S-O, like the painter, at rogers.com. And I'm happy to get back to you.
And you also have a Facebook page.
I do. Unstoppable Frankie Picasso. You can write there.
All right.
My friend.
And then we'll have you back on again, and maybe you can give more coaching tips.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Next week, we have Julie on, and she's going to be talking about a very exciting movie, and we're going to be talking about UFOs and people that have had experiences with UFOs. So that should be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. And at the end of the month, over the Halloween weekend, we, of course, have Frank St. James. He will be with us, helping us figure out where all the ghosts and goblins are. And now it's time for our meditation. And the meditation tonight is October 2017. And the prayers that we need to bring forth during these days of storms, hurricanes, and upsets. It's Elizabeth Joyce, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening, and good night.
Never be a portrait of my love, for nobody could paint a dream. You will never see a portrait of my love, for miracles are never seen. Anyone who sees her soon forgets the Mona Lisa. It would take, I know, a Michelangelo, and he would need the glow of dawn that paints the sky above to try and paint a portrait of my love. Michelangelo, and he would need the glow of dawn that paints the sky above to try and paint a portrait of my love.
And now it's time for the Let's Find Out meditation. We are going to be speaking about October and what it has brought to us in 2017 as a transformation and awareness to the surrenders and the powerful force of nature. Please sit in a chair with both feet flat on the floor, legs uncrossed, keeping your spine straight. Your shoes should be removed, and you are ready now to meditate. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Take another deep breath. And one more deep breath. October has become nature's funeral month. Nature glories in death more than in life. The month of departure is more beautiful than the month of emerging and coming. October, and then May. Every green thing loves to die in the bright colors. October has brought hurricanes, tornadoes, volcanic eruption, and destruction by fire. Your tombstone stands among the rest, neglect and alone. The names and dates are chiseled out or polished on marble stone. It reaches out to all who care, and it's too late to mourn. Many of you did not know that I exist. You died, and I was born. Yet each of us are cells of you, in flesh, in blood, and bone. Our blood contracts and beats a pulse that's entirely not our own. Dear ancestors, the place you filled 100 years ago spreads out among the ones you left, who would have loved you so. I wonder if you lived and loved. I wonder if you knew that someday I would find this place and come to visit you. Perhaps the most famous icon of the holiday Halloween is the jack-o'-lantern. Various authorities attribute it to either Scottish or Irish origin. However, it seems clear that it was used as a lantern by people who traveled the road at night, the scary face to frighten away spirits or fairies who otherwise might lead one astray. Set on the porches and in the windows, they cast the same spell of protection over the household. Bobbing for apples may well represent the remnants of a pagan baptism rite called signing, according to some writers. The water-filled tub is a latter-day cauldron of regeneration into which the novice's head is immersed. The fact that the participant in this folk game is usually blindfolded with hands tied behind their back puts to mind of the craft of initiation ceremonies. The gilding of the Indian summer has mellowed in the pastures far and wide. The russet woods stand open, ripe to be stripped. But yet they were full of leaves and turned purple as their health bloomed, and then faded, but did not wither. they tinge the hills with their color. Its time of flowers and even of fruit is over. Even if something is left undone, everyone must take the time to sit still and watch the leaves turn. Colors burst in wild explosion, fiery, flaming shades of fall, all in accord with my heart pounding out. Behold the autumn, the weaver, the bronze, and the yellow dying colors unfold into dreams. In the hordes of 1,001, the bleeding, the injured, the wounded, the trapped are not wearing masks in this last notes of summer. Their flutes and horns in nightly screaming bursts within. Spare me these unending fires and bestow upon the flame the shades of love and fall. I remember more dearly other autumn afternoons that lay intensely silent under the old green trees. The wind runs high and cold with the low sun. How short his course, and the sea is running high. It shapes all that have gone. Cold has caught the wings of the birds as the season of ice is approaching. The scarlet of the fire and the maples can shake and make me cry. The clump of the maples on the hill and the one near this door seem redder quite a lot this year than last year or before. I wonder if it's just because the fires seem to be coming more and more. Oh, please bring the sweet, calm sunshine of October to warm the low spots upon its grassy mold. The purple oak leaf falls, the birch's bough drops, its bright soil like arrowheads of gold. And my lonely spirit bows as it sees the frosty osiers of smoke upon the hills. Even in death, for a reason that none of us knows, the wren laughs in the early shade, coming again, shining advance in the naked air in late morning. My love is for lightness, for a touch of a foot, a feather. The day is yet one more yellow leaf, and without turning, I kiss the light. By an old abandoned well, on the last month of gathering wild rose hips in the sun. Spring comes with flowers, autumn comes with the moon, summer with the breeze, and winter with the snow. When idle concerns don't fill your thoughts, then that is your best season. With the falling snowflakes, I have come to a stillness, but not into my deep center. I'm just at a point outside in the glittering current of the river. My eyes stare at the bottom as I look into the river of love, as the irregular stones and iridescent sand grains, my mind moves into more than one place. In a country of half land and half water, I am renewed by death, thoughts of my death, the dry scent of a dying garden in September, the wind fanning the ashes in a low fire, and what I love is near at hand, always in the earth and the air. He is outside of everything. He is an aesthetic, solitary light, He is beautiful. And he is the wings on the autumn evening, just a brush across your cheek in the dusty wind. May we all be aware of the importance of peace, honor, love, and harmony. Take a moment to say a prayer to those caught in Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, and for our blessed neighbors and loved ones in Puerto Rico. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. Take another deep breath. Release the breath. Lean back and see if you can access your still point as you float into the experience of beyond you. And allow yourself to float up and feel the kiss of God. As you listen to Richard Shulman and the still point of peace from Ascension Harmonics.
Thank you.